Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Hey,
Sir Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Tom Coughlin will be so disappointed.
Alright, well, he'll be alright.
They cue you early.
I had to be you today. Okay.
Let's do this, gentlemen.
What's going on, gentlemen?
They say y'all are here for next week's show.
Oh man.
I'm sorry, I had to pull it together.
Rob said. He said, I'll be calling in 15 minutes early. No one's going to call, so then I hang up. I'm like, come on, bro. Come on, man.
Yeah, come on. You know better than listening to that.
Tom Coughlin tried to tell y'all, if you're not 15 minutes early, you're late.
And you get rolled up in demerits all the time because you late every day of your life.
Never.
Rob's going to try to hold on to his dying day. Hey, again, gentlemen. America, welcome to Talking Sports on 12th Man. We're kicking it off on a Wednesday. I know it's a little off. We normally do it on Tuesday. But we always like to keep you on your toes. And, yeah, so this is where we are at on this 11th month, 13th day of November. We are literally kicking it. So let's have some fun, as we always do. And while the show goes on, guys, I need you guys to quiet down. Yeah, I don't want y'all making any noise as I do my monologue, okay? Just straight up, you know. So just want to let you guys know that, you know. So
oh, wow.
The offensive. If y'all talk, man, so just keep it quiet. Let me do my thing. I'm just saying. So anyway, you know, that's a reference to Baker Mayfield, you know. Anyway, it's all good. But let's kick the show off. We got to throw the numbers out, as always, and get the fellas kicked in. Curtis, Gary, welcome aboard. And Mr. JQ, how you feeling this evening, sir?
I'm good. I'm sorry, y'all. I was in here laid out. I almost passed out watching this Lakers Golden State game. I said, oh, shit, I got to get on this call. Get my stuff together. Five headphones is down there. So I'm sorry. I that won't happen again. I guess this is my one time.
No, you
sorry,
know,
that
like
game
is putting
me to sleep too, JQ.
Yeah, I mean, I like the outcome, but it's very sleepy.
At least, I mean, you did almost pull it like a Rob because you're normally the first one on, which is crazy. So whenever, you know, Rob joined, I'm like, what's happening? It's like freaking like we're in Bizarro World or something like that. But anyway, we'll get everything reset.
I just decided not to hang up tonight. I was going to say, let me see how long.
Oh, gosh. Oh, my goodness. Oh, no.
I'm going to take a picture for you early next thing. I'll show you because I'm on. Hey, he thought that he was going to have a good week, and you know, shout out to LSU for making the whole state of Louisiana in a state of soberness. But yeah, Rob Ford, how you feeling, bro?
Feeling good, man. I tell you, LSU had me on a high Saturday night, then I was depressed on Sunday. you know. Life goes on. You know, you got to take the ass whooping like a man. But went 4-1 in fantasy. You know, not a bad week in fantasy. And, you know, so we're moving on. It's hump day now. We're getting over hump day.
So you're on the Cincinnati.
JQ gave me my only loss in fantasy this past week.
Nice. That's what's supposed to happen. That's how it's supposed to Some retribution here. Curtis and Gary, man, we can't wait to have you on board again. Stay tuned. We're going to get you guys right out the gate here. And really quick, let's kick this party off, as we always like to do, with the numbers to the show. Shout out to my cousin in Portland. She's actually in Portland, little Jocelyn. A lot of love. Appreciate you listening to the show. Hopefully you'll have the nerve to call in. She is a huge Portland, Seattle fan. So, again, a lot of love to her. And she's getting a lot of love, so I'm excited to have her listen in, and Mario as well. But the number to call into the show, is always 424-259-3284. What is it? 424-243-9519. I just totally butchered that number. I almost gave you my real number. I know, for real. Follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And then, if you will, follow us on Facebook as well, facebook.com/talkingsports, the 12th man or 12th man sports, if you will. So, gentlemen, let's go right out the gate here. We've got to talk about Baker Mayfield. And if you didn't recognize, that was kind of a knock, because he seems like he has these little mood swings. We talk about Kyrie Irving's mood swings, but Baker Mayfield, same thing. If it's a loss, he, you know, he kind of curls up and, you know, just, I hate the media, I don't want to talk. Then when they get the win, he's all like jovial and stuff like that. And he wanted to remind the fans that whenever the Browns are offense, don't make any noise, because, you know, that's a problem. So, again, the question is, we've talked about, will he ever be a great QB? And whether it's Freddie Kitchens with a couple things happening, whether it's just his personality, because at first, I remember J.K., we talked about how we liked that edge that he had. And now, I don't know, he's kind of getting closer to the more Johnny Manziel than the other side. So, again, are we going to be talking about another QB for the Browns again? So, JQ, can get off, bro.
Man, he's and also in that comparison, I said there's a really thin line between Jeff George and Aaron Rodgers and the way you're made up and how you perceive and how you carry yourself, and you come off as a jerk that wins and just has an edge versus just being a loser who's a jerk. And he's teetering. He's teetering on the wrong side right now. And it feels like, you know, the pressure's starting to catch up to him a little bit. Because, you know, everybody talked about him. They had some of all this talent. He was going to have this great run, and it is not going as according to plan for him. So I think you're seeing a young quarterback being frustrated and not knowing how to handle himself. And the thing about it is, I don't know who the backup quarterback is in Cleveland, but I think that's a piece of it, that for a young quarterback, you don't necessarily have to have a veteran guy to necessarily push him for actually, you know, playing time. But you got to, you know, help him show the ropes of how to be NFL quarterback. I don't think he has that. He's struggling to kind of find himself. So he's teetering on the wrong side of that. I mean, it's too early to call him a bust. He's got probably some productive years left in him if he can right the ship, but it's not trending in the right direction for him and that Cleveland Browns thing, really.
Uh-oh. Curtis and Gary, what you think about that?
Well, you know, it starts off with the coaching too. So you get a young guy in there, and now he's a millionaire, and he's the face of the franchise, and they bring in all this talent, and, you know, like I said at the beginning of the season, you know, they spent all their money, and they're broke now, and now it's not so fun being in front of them. It was in preseason, and it was, you know, when they were the media hyped team at the beginning of this whole process, and now it is what it is. He's more Johnny Manziel than I think than what we're talking about here. I think he's I don't think he's going to be. I think he'll be lucky if he's a journeyman quarterback if he doesn't implode before that. Curtis, what do you got?
What I got is maturity. What we don't got at Baker Mayfield is maturity. And we'll just go with Johnny Come Lately. I saw something today that every time he's in a press conference, he always goes back to the week behind. He doesn't take the Bill Belichick thing that is an NFL standard off to the next game. And it's sad that he's talking about the crowd noise and not talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers. His immaturity didn't let him focus on tomorrow is almost going to be their season. Tomorrow, if they get their butt kicked, Baker Mayfield will be a has-been, a horrible pick, and will be, we thought we was doing something a lot better than this. If they get crushed tomorrow, the Baker Mayfield hype will be done. And he's talking about the crowd noise of last week. Immaturity.
Wow, Rob.
Well,
I
think Curtis took the words out of my mouth too. Immaturity is the real factor here with Baker Mayfield. He still hasn't matured, and I think that's what the problem is with Baker Mayfield right now. I'm not quite ready to call him a bust, but I don't foresee him ever being a great quarterback in the NFL. But I don't think he'll be a bust. I think he still has a chance to be a solid quarterback in the NFL. He just has to have the right leader in place, and he just needs to mature. He's still young, and some people take longer than others to mature, and I just think that's what it is with Baker Mayfield right now. He has to learn. He has to grow up. He has to have the right leader in place to bring him along. And I think he still can have some success in his league, but I don't think he will ever be considered a great quarterback in this league at all.
You don't think so? Wow. Mario Peterson, my resident Cleveland Brown fan in the service here, he said he don't know. He said if you look at last year, you'd say he will. If you look at this year, he said soft, maybe to no. If you subscribe to the Steeler fan base and the Collar Cowherd School of Broadcasting, you would say, hell no, he's a bust with attitude. Baker John Paul Manzelweak is what he said. So there you go. That's what Mario said as far as that. But like you said, JQ, we're teetering, man. There's a thin line between Jeff George and all that fun stuff, too. Don't think that you're getting out of this, too. Yeah, go ahead, Rob.
And I don't think he's going to be Johnny Manziel. I don't think he's going to be that bad. I really don't. I mean, Johnny Manziel, what did he last in the league? Maybe 1 year? He's going to be better than Johnny Manziel. Yeah, definitely. And he probably already has been better than Johnny Manziel. Johnny Manziel was horrible in NFL. So, I mean, he's going to be better than Johnny Manziel, but he just needs to mature. He just needs that right person to bring him along, and that just hasn't happened yet, but definitely better than Johnny Manziel.
That's what I was talking about with the coaching. That's the first thing I said is it starts with the coaching, and they're not – you know, there's no consequences there. It seems like he's been able to just kind of act and act out and say what he wants to say. And, yeah, he is a better player than Johnny Manziel. But as far as just his maturity level, it really, really reminds me of how Johnny Manziel acts. You know, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He will be a better quarterback. And he will, you know, end up being, you know, just, you know, like, you know, a journeyman quarterback. Maybe even a decent starting quarterback, maybe. But it's going to take a coach to go in there that's strong enough to even maybe set him out a couple games and say, you know what, for disciplinary reasons, for you being late for meetings, for you acting out towards the media, for you not following our game plan, whatever it is he's doing at the time, to set him down and say, that's it. This coach that they got there now, he's not that guy.
You know what it reminds me of a little bit that he needs to have happen to him? Remember when Mike Singletary kicked Vernon Davis off the field for just being an idiot and he had to walk the whole length of the field and up the tunnel? And he credited him. He said, you know what, that changed me in the way I approached the game and just being a man in life. Like, I don't think that Baker has that in the coaching. Freddie Kitchens, for sure, not a strong enough coach. But I go back to it, too. He doesn't have a quality, I think, backup veteran quarterback to show him the ropes. And he's like, hey, man, that's not how you do it if you want to be that guy. You have the talent to be that guy, but this is not how you conduct yourself. And I think he kind of needs that as well. It goes back to, it's really the word is structure. And they don't have it for him in Cleveland. You know, they're still trying to get the franchise together, let alone the places and teaching the place to make him a successful franchise quarterback. So I think everybody's kind of hit on it, too. I don't necessarily want to keep talking about Baker Mayfield. I get tired of saying him every Sunday when I'm out there not winning any games.
Yeah. Robert,
I'd rather
pick
a field with 10 guys that have the right attitude than 11.
Can't do it. Won't do it. That's crazy. Hey,
there you go.
Just to kind of Wow.
There it is.
That's why Rob wanted to have this moment. We will get off of the topic, too. It does seem like that Rob is a Cleveland Browns fan secretly. But we'll talk about that too. And just to kind of like put a bow on this.
Yeah,
again,
put on the
I think as you said,
we're talking about.
Just messing, Rob, you don't mess with you, man. I will say that again. It just seems like structure was the key. Everyone has said this. And if you have a coach that's trying to figure out what he's doing, and then you have a quarterback trying to figure out, it's not a good scenario. And then you kind of, we're seeing the replication of that too, man. If you had a strong will coach that said, you know, get yourself together, a veteran, you know, the team, it'd probably be a different outlook too. And they're very talented, obviously. That's an understatement, but they need somebody to kind of guide the ship. So, again, much to the other divisions alike, we'll see how they can either shape up or they can kind of implode. So we'll keep an eye on that situation as the season moves along. We're going to talk about
It's going to start tomorrow.
A tale of two franchises, right? You have the Steelers that have been pretty stoic. They've only had three coaches in their history, which is amazing. I don't know how many coaches Cleveland's had, you know, at least 20 to 30, seems like, just two different organizations. So now, here's your opportunity. The Steelers are playing well. Obviously, Mason Rudolph, it's crazy. James Conner, you know, he's going to be back. And so now they're at the Browns. Let's kick this off. I mean, what say you about this, Curtis Gary? You think what's the outcome about this game, too? I'm obviously into the Steelers, but right now, what do you think about this game?
Right now, and boy, if he gets this done, Mike Tomlin is going to be in the running for Coach of the Year to turn this whole
yep.
to get rid of
Crazy.
Those get
wow,
rid of get rid of the yeah get rid of the three B's, start all over with you know losing all the three B's, this horrible start they had, turning it around. And making smart moves for that defense. You know, what it looks like they did, it looks like they did what they're known for. Strong defense, their front seven, and they got young dudes in that seven in the defense. They got a base that could go maybe 5 or 6 years with stars in that front seven of their defensive unit. And run that football, they've won Super Bowls. Mike Tomlin has won Super Bowls with that formula. And it looks like he's coached them, he's made the moves, and they're gunning for it. I think they're going to – I'm hoping it's going to be a good game because we've had nothing but good games this whole weekend. But, boy, like I said, it's going to come crumbling down for Cleveland. If they let Pittsburgh blow them out, that's going to be horrible for everything that Cleveland was trying to be about this year. But this
that
is football. There it is.
And I think
right tomorrow.
I think it will be a nail in the coffin. I think that the Steelers are going to walk all over them. And that is an organization. And when you're talking about strong coaching and – you're talking about a veteran quarterback that, you know, that leads and this young quarterback, what's his name for Pittsburgh? Apparently, you know, he's picked up on some of these really good habits from a solid organization. And it's too bad that, you know, Baker Mayfield drew the short straw and is stuck with a team like that where he's, you know, he'll never be able to, you know, have that experience because he's with an organization that has been nothing, you know, but a failure, you know. It's too bad.
Yeah. And you took it from me. They've gone back to what they do. You talk about the front seven, but you still got Joe Hayden out there at corner and getting Minkah Fitzpatrick. He's been a beast here these past couple of weeks, you know, with the interceptions and the returns. I mean, I just can't take, you know, Baker Mayfield right now over the way that Pittsburgh is playing. I mean, I hope this game ends in a 0-0 tie. You know how I am. But, you know, if I got to be for real about it, I just the way that Pittsburgh is playing defense right now and getting after the quarterback and the way that Baker is so shifty in the pocket when he sees any kind of pressure, it's going to feed right into what Pittsburgh is trying to have you do. And you're going to see another frustrated OBJ. I don't know if they can consistently run Chubb against that front seven against Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh wins this game by about 14 to 17 points. I really do. I think you see a whole lot of frustrations boil over in Cleveland on Thursday night.
There it is. Wow.
Yeah. Right. Pittsburgh's done a phenomenal job turning this season around here. And when, you know, I thought they were dead early in the year. Now they're 5-4 in playoff contention. But I'm going to go a little bit different here. I'm going to go with the Browns in the upset at home tomorrow night in a close football game. I'm going to go 20-17, the Browns in the upset at home over the Pittsburgh Steelers.
See, I never want to
see Vegas. I think Vegas has the Browns by 3 in Vegas. Vegas has it by 3 in the Browns.
JQ, if that happens, we got to pepper Rob's phone. If for the Browns.
One thing about these Thursday night games, road teams typically only win if they just, you know, just so much better than the other team. And Steelers, do I think they're better? Yes, but I don't think they're a lot better than the Browns.
Okay. All right. Keep an eye on that. Hey, we're going to keep moving here because I know we got to talk about quarterbacks. And Rob, don't think we're gonna get off what happened on Sunday too. So just keep that in mind as we're moving on here. So we gotta talk about the thing, man.
Have your moment.
I am definitely gonna have my moment. We're talking about the Falcons and the Panthers, but before we talk about the Falcons and the Panthers, I do want to, you know, talk about what happened on Sunday between the Saints and the Falcons. And I'm not gonna, like, you know, beat them up because, again, I'm not talking any junk because it just was unbelievable this actually happened. And, you know, Dan Quinn switched a lot of the coaches. And one half of us is like, what the hell happened? The excitement of that, because, again, 1-7. And I'm pretty sure the Saints just probably figured we were just going to show up and we're going to beat the Falcons. And they were surely mistaken. Or they were just, again, just so happy about LSU winning that they were in a state of, you know, whatever. So, again, whatever happened, it was a total shock, Rob. I got to be honest. I'm sitting here watching, like, well, what's happening? Where's this team been? That's why we're frustrated, because we see what could be, and yet it did not happen. So, again, shout out to LSU for, you know, softening up the Saints fans, because it was totally unexpected for sure. So, but again, as Sean Payton probably said, you know, you can't take anything lightly, no matter how the records are, and you can throw it out the window. So, you know, and again, there you go. Just want to throw that out there. A lot of love, man. So, what is it, Gary? Did you think that the Falcons will pull this off too? Did you say that or no? Were you?
I didn't hear you. What did you say? Say that again.
Were you pretty much picking the Falcons too on Sunday with me, like, in a crazy way, or were we just going in a different direction on that?
No,
or
I think
kind of like reversed that. Okay, cool. Okay,
well, you know,
sure. Sorry. Good.
Well, you guys were trying to convince me that this was going to be a rivalry game. And I didn't see the rivalry. I'll just go with Curtis had his mouth open this whole football weekend. We'll start with Saturday. And I mean, I'm a super football fan, and I'm gonna say I was in heaven with what went on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. I'm going to call it an ambush. I'm going to call it Custer's last stand at the Little Bighorn. When Penn State went into Minnesota, I think the whole state of Minnesota was in that stadium. And then they run into a buzzsaw. Holy smoke! Was that a game? And was that Curtis's mouth dropped? Okay, I thought that was so enjoyable, and that was I was a little bit surprised. I thought Penn State could win that, but boy, were they up against it. It was amazing. Then I'm going to say this. That game was lost in the first drive for Alabama. Tua tried to, from the 7-yard line, run into the end zone on that gimp leg and found out that wasn't going to be happening for him that day. He fumbled that football, and they took it from the 7 and drove it right on down the Alabama's throat. But I do got to put a whole lot of yay for Tua for him to battle with that gimpy leg the way he battled. That man showed me something. But they lost that game because Tua didn't realize, or Tua found out the hard way, that he wasn't going to be running into no end zone and then dropping that ball. And then the show was on, but now you got LSU with the lead. And here we go. Now, my mouth was open. I said at the beginning of the year, I thought Atlanta could win this division. And then we get halfway through the season, and I'm trying to – last week I asked you guys, what the hell happened in Atlanta? And you guys are telling me you guys don't know what the hell was going on in Atlanta. I can't figure out Atlanta to save my life. And Atlanta went down to the Superdome and beat that team up. Oh, my God. And I'm thinking the same thing. Where did this come from? What happened? This was a team I thought they were going to be at the beginning of the season. Holy smoke.
Well, what I was going to say about that is just what I've talked about before. It's these games. It's these games of the teams that are in your division. They know you better than anybody else. They play it twice a year, every year. And these are the games. It's that last place team against the first place team. And it happens so many times in these divisions. Those are the games that keep you up at night, you know, and you're what you are. You're looking back and you go, how did that happen? You know, a team looking so good and another team looking so bad, and then they just basically just came in and just
flipped the script.
Yeah, flipped the script. Yeah. So congratulations to Atlanta. They were desperate for a win, and, you know, that will happen to the team. So.
And another thing I want to say, another mouth-opening thing for me this weekend was Clowney for Seattle. Clowney, I've been waiting for Clowney to be this monster. I thought Clowney was a monster. He was a monster in college. I thought he was going to be a monster in the NFL. I've never seen it from him. And then all of a sudden, Monday night, Clowney is beating people up. Clowney looks like that monster that I thought he was going to be. Where did that come from? Holy smoke. Wow.
Yep.
Yeah. But definitely hats off to Atlanta. They were definitely the more physical team in that game. They were definitely, I think Sean Payton said it best, they were the more prepared team in that game as well. So he had to look in the mirror after that game too, because the Saints looked very much unprepared to play that football game on Sunday. And but hats off to Atlanta. Came on the road, and I sent Andre a text message on Sunday. Congrats! So you guys should be proud by the way they played. But and the LSU game, obviously LSU played a great first half. Had to kind of hold on in the end and in the second half. Obviously, that's also another big-time road victory off LSU. But they kept answering the bell. So that was very nice to see. Every time Alabama made a run, the LSU responded. And Joe Burrow, oh, my goodness. He and they
22.
Just kept responding. Yeah. Oh, man. Edwards-Helaire, and man, he was running like a man possessed.
Yes, he was.
And he never stopped moving his legs. You can see his legs just keep moving, and he's got tree trunk thighs. he's only about 5'8", but he just never stopped moving. The guy was only a 3-star recruit too, so he was overlooked by a lot of schools. Baton Rouge kid, and you have to be really happy for him. He does it all. He catches the ball out of the backfield. He runs between the tackle. He runs outside, and he blocks. So a big win for LSU. Disappointing loss for the Saints, but like I said, a lot of that credit goes to the Falcons for the way they responded, and they were definitely the more hungrier team.
Well, what I'd like to say on that is if you look at, you know, Saban and Peyton and what they said after the game, you know, they congratulated their opponents, and they said, no, we got to move forward and we got to look on. Now, I don't want to be that next guy. I don't want to be that next team that plays either one of those teams, because that's the one that's going to have some problems. I don't know who's playing the
Mississippi
same.
State.
Okay.
Mississippi State plays LSU. Plays Alabama.
And there's two things to look at here.
I think they're going to sit two this week, too. But they'll still be Mississippi State.
There's two things to look at here, what I just talked about. That was almost LSU Super Bowl. And I heard today that Notre Dame coach, Lou Holtz, said, "Boy, you know, a 19-year-old kid, you don't get the same 19-year-old kid week to week." And there's two teams and two scary things that I'm going to watch this year in college. I'm going to watch LSU going into Mississippi State. That boy, if that 19-year-old kid I got his head on right, and they might activate the National Guard down there if something goes wrong with that game. And then Minnesota is going to Iowa. And, oh, my God, after they played their Super Bowl last week with Penn State, if they're not focusing, don't got their head on straight, Minnesota could run into a buzzsaw and get upset. The two of them games are you better watch. And hopefully these kids are focused. If they're not, it's going to be downhill.
This is for you, Rob. You know, just let a little fun then. We were playing a song. I mean, after like the game, you know, we were having some fun, a little celebration, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Hey, again, we're having fun with that. So, like, we've pretty much beat up Rob enough, man. So, not expected, but again, y'all just thought y'all going to show up and just beat us and, you know, just, like, show up and just, you know, be the same thing anyway. Hey, the next prediction. So,
whatever they did, they were obviously wrong.
Falcons versus Panthers is interesting because, so, I'm not quite sure what to think of this. Obviously, Kyle Allen has been really good he's been steadying the ship. Obviously, the Panthers have gotten a little more speed on offense with Samuels and whatnot, and McCaffrey's been doing his thing. So now the thing is, the defense hasn't been that great. The defense has, I mean, I'm not calling them, you know, crap, but they just haven't been able to stop the run as much. So again, we hope that the Falcons will stick with the same thing and we'll have some momentum too as well. So if we keep that going, obviously, Devonta Freeman's out, Austin Hooper's out. So I'm not quite sure where to go because, again, my heart would say, yo, let's go with Falcons because, you know, obviously what happened last week, but I just don't know this squad. I don't know where the middle state is. I do know that our communication does seem to be better. I'm going to slightly go for a 3-point win for the Falcons. You know, I'm going to say 24-27 Falcons, but that's what I'm thinking right now. So that's my prediction as far as that game, if you will. If you want to be fast with that, my only pleasure is Naj will call in too. So I'm going to put my Naj vibes out there. Hopefully he'll call in as well. But, go ahead around the room really quickly, and we'll keep this going because we have spent a lot of time on this last topic. So go ahead, guys.
Atlanta had a great game this past Sunday, and they obviously had the best game all season. But I don't foresee them going to Carolina and get a win. And, you know, I think Carolina will come out prepared. They're coming off of a loss. And there's going to be a heavy dose of Christian McCaffrey. And so I definitely think Carolina wins this game in a close one. I'm going to say 27-21, and the Falcons not having Austin Hooper, that could be a big blow for them, too, in this game, too.
Yeah, and if you saw Christian McCaffrey just dejected, like how much that game means to him, getting stopped on the one-inch line in the snow in Green Bay, like I can't believe that just happened. He is probably going to come out there and run like a man possessed. It's hard for me just to put that kind of stock in what I've seen the Falcons all year. So they're going to do it again on the road again at that against another division rival. I think it's a close game, but I'm with you. Christian McCaffrey to the left, Christian McCaffrey to the right, Christian McCaffrey to the middle. And when that don't work, you're going to throw him a screen pass and a check down. Like, he's going to be so sore, he's going to have to be the first dude in the ice tub after that game. But I think he is the reason why the Panthers win.
I'm gonna pick Atlanta boys. They will blow my mind again if they play like they did in New Orleans last week. Hey, if they play like that, they can sure win that game. But I don't see it. And you know, like I said, this whole year we didn't see that. And if they're gonna put two of those together, you know, might have to call down there and tell them what happened. But I think Atlanta, you know, they lose. New Orleans is trying to get in the playoffs. I'm going to go 21-24.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a close game. I don't think, you know, I could see it as a, you know, 23-17, something like that. But I think it's going to be a, you know, run the football, control the clock, wear that defensive line down, and Carolina wins.
Cool. Let's move on to the next game here. Houston at Baltimore. Everyone's been giving Baltimore a ton of love. Lamar Jackson, again, another great highlight. He's just, you know, filling in my apologies to the Cincinnati to JQ. Just a great confidence builder for him. But right now, the word of the truth is the MVP. He's been in some great company, too, versus with Russell Wilson. So, yeah, and then obviously Deshaun Watson. And talk about a tale of two franchises. If Cleveland would have picked Deshaun Watson, who knows what would happen, but that's a whole other conversation. But Houston's at Baltimore. Is this the quintessential trap game, if you will, JQ?
Man, this is a tough one. As I thought about this, and I just am having a hard time deciding on who to pick because, you know, you can say that, you know, Lamar Jackson is electric, but that guy Deshaun Watson is pretty electric as well. Carlos Hyde has been serviceable. He's not as good as Ingram, don't get me wrong, especially at this stage of his career. But, you know, he's been serviceable, you know, being able to play off Deshaun Watson. I think the matchup I like out there and want to watch it is Hopkins. And I think he's the difference because, to me, if you take away the quarterbacks as a wash and the running games as a wash, Baltimore's defense, I think, has feasted, you know, some on a very bad Cincinnati team. Let's just not get it twisted. And Houston has lost J.J. Watt, so I don't think their defense is as good. But I think Hopkins has the ability to be the difference maker because that's what you're paying him to be. He just is that guy. I don't feel great about it because I'm taking the road team and given what we've seen Lamar Jackson do, I think it's going to be a shootout. But I think, you know, D-Hop makes a couple more plays to put Houston over the top in that game, and they win that game by, like, 4.
I got to go with Baltimore on this one. And the way Baltimore is playing, to me, they're almost starting to look like the best team in the AFC right now, even better than New England. And, I mean, they're getting it done in every phase of the football field. I mean, special teams, defense. Lamar Jackson has been pretty electric. And the way they're playing right now, Deshaun Watson has been phenomenal this season. But it's just hard for me to predict Houston to go in there and beat that team the way they're playing right now. I like Baltimore by a touchdown in this game. I think we're looking at like a 30-23 game in Baltimore's favor.
What I'm gonna go with. I think I heard this today. There was a lot of praise put on Lamar Jackson today, and I think I heard Lamar Jackson say, I don't care about all this praise. I don't care about any of these stats. The only thing I want to do is win a Super Bowl. That's the only thing I want to do is win a Super Bowl. So I think this, and you got to say something about that organization and that coach. That coach has beaten Bill Belichick twice. That coach beat New England in New England and then beat Kaepernick in the Super Bowl. And he's done it again. You know, they're not afraid of nobody. And they're that team that wants to punch you in your mouth. And if you get up, they're going to punch you in the mouth again. They're focused. And I think they're locked in. And Rob said he thinks they might be the best team in the AFC. I think they think it's no thought about it. I think they are. So they're going to win this game probably 27-21.
So we were on one end of this, you know, spectrum with Mayfield, and then you look at Lamar and how his comments and what he wants to do, and it's, you know, team first. He doesn't care about stats. He just wants to win. Now that's maturity. So if you were Baker Mayfield and you were watching SportsCenter or NFL Channel and you watched this, wouldn't that be like an aha moment for you? You go, wow.
100%. Yeah.
Maybe that guy's got something there.
Yeah.
Those two guys on the same draft too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One was pick number one, and one was pick number 32.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? That's good. That's an amazing call, Rob. Good point. Man, unbelievable. Man. All right, let's wrap this up here. We got one more. We got the Patriots. Let's be fast. Patriots, so we're going to talk about a couple things. Patriots at Eagles. What say you about Rob? Rob, wrap this up, Rob and JQ.
I tell you what, surprisingly, I like the Eagles in this matchup at home. I have not been that impressed with the Patriots the last couple of weeks. I know they're coming off a bye week, and I know Belichick's going to come out and make some adjustments. But I like the Eagles in this game at home. I think they're a more talented football team, actually, too. And I know they beat them in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. I like the Eagles in this game at home. I know it's going to be a close football game, but I'm going to go Eagles 30, New England 27. Eagles win at home.
Yeah, man, Bill Belichick getting blown, you know, getting not embarrassed, but like beat soundly, and all the Lamar Jackson and Baltimore love, and they've had to sit and listen to that now for 2 weeks. And yes, you know he is going to be in the lab cooking up something really ridiculous for Carson Wentz. Them still not having Deshaun Jackson to take the top off that defense, I think it's going to hurt them in this game. With quietly, New England has a really good pair of cornerbacks. And so if you can single those guys up with nobody really that you fear taking the top off, you can't really count on Aguilar. I mean, we already discussed him. I just can't bet against them coming off a bye getting beat. You know, that own Cincinnati that I always joke about. I feel like they've been talking about that and, you know, chomping at the bit to get out there and erase that last memory we have in New England getting beat that bad by Lamar. I think they win this game in Philadelphia. I really do. I think Carson Wentz still, you know, has a little ways to go, and I think Bill Belichick finds a way to exploit it.
Well, I think Carson Wentz has a long ways to go, and betting against Belichick, you know, bye week thing, time to plan, time to watch these guys. Yeah, they're gonna go in there, and they're gonna beat them up pretty good. I think. I think 27-17.
I'm not with that. I think Philadelphia is looking at winning this division. And I think Philadelphia is going to send Dallas a message. And I think they're looking into sending Dallas a message. I also think that New England is in a little bit of trouble. They got some offensive linemen hurt. The biggest thing I think that happened to New England is that loss of Gronk. I think loss of Gronk was a really big loss for that New England football team. But what I hear, Gronk got all the way to the end of the month to, if he wants to, and I think New England is banking on this, get him signed back up and get him back in uniform and get him back in shape. But at the moment, that's not happening. So because Philadelphia, I mean, nobody benefited better by the Cowboy loss than they did. And now they're in position to make this an interesting coming down to that conference. And it starts with a message for the New England Patriots. So another really good game on Saturday, or on Sunday, I'm sorry. I mean, boy, are we just so fortunate at the end, you know, getting towards the middle and end of these football seasons. We're getting games that if you're a football fan, you just enjoy. And I'm thinking 27-24, I'm picking Philadelphia to win.
Wow. All right.
You're going to be disappointed.
You knew that was coming, though. You knew he wasn't going to take New England. Come on.
Yeah. All right.
All right, dude, I was kind of curious because he's a Cowboys fan.
You guys got that one down, right? It has nothing to do with Philadelphia.
It has everything to do with Philadelphia.
If you're going to get them, you're going to get them now.
We got about 15 minutes here. Let's get this here. I want to talk about a couple of things. We'll talk about quarterbacks here. Who's a better quarterback? This is going to be fun for you guys really quickly between Dak Prescott and Lamar Jackson, and then Dak Prescott versus Jimmy Garoppolo. And I guess the next thing is that we're going to talk about Zeke Elliott. Is he the same dominating back? Because again, I will say the pass game on Sunday, it wasn't really Dak's fault. Some play calling, he actually played pretty well. So it's kind of interesting what's happening with the Cowboys. So you guys got two things to talk about. Tell us your thoughts, and then we'll pass around the room and get ready as we're keeping this moving here. So go ahead, guys.
Well, if you're talking about just quarterbacks, you also got to talk about organizations and things like that. And as far as Dak's play, I think he's been playing outstanding this year. He's second, in yards, in the NFL. He's completing almost 70%, 68.3% of his passes. And, you're talking about Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson's a freak for an athlete, and they're completely different types. Both players are mature. Both players do want to win. Right now, I'm going to have to go, if it's just the quarterback play, I'm going with Dak.
I'm going to go with both of them are leaders. I think Lamar wants it more. And I think Lamar is going to do whatever it takes as a quarterback for an organization that is totally behind him and has an identity. And the difference here with Dallas is the identity thing. And I talked to Gary about this earlier. I think Jerry Jones is living in the past with the Emmitt Smith, Troy Aikman, the Roger Staubach, Robert Newhouse, and Calvin Hill days. And he's kind of seeing that the Ezekiel Elliott and Dak Prescott can be that stuff. And he couldn't be more wrong. They need to finally come to Jesus or come to something and tell Dak Prescott, the focus is going to be on you. I need you to figure out what Russell Wilson is doing, and I need you to do the same thing. And in that game, on that 4th and 5, I feel like Dak should have pulled that ball down instead of trying to get it to Zeke and went and got them 4 yards. And then left the guys with a first down and a minute and 30 4 seconds to figure out how to win that game. And I think that goes to the identity that the Cowboys are struggling with. And maybe after this game, maybe they figured it out. The identity of the Cowboys is going to have to shift from Ezekiel Elliott to Zach Prescott. And they're going to have to go – and they're going to have to stand behind that, and they're going to have to believe in that.
Yeah, I think if I wrap those two together, I feel like what you just talked about, pulling down and making the play, is something that Lamar Jackson is doing now. And those are showing up, you know, not always at the end of the game where all the spotlight is on it, but in the middle of the game to keep a drive alive, to get a field goal maybe where you wouldn't have got it, or maybe get a field goal to a touchdown where, you know, you've got a great kicker, but you got the first down and you kept the drive alive. I think I would take Lamar Jackson right now. Just for his ability that when the play breaks down, a la Russell Wilson, he can go get something and make something happen with his legs that Dak doesn't have. Dak is a better pocket passer for sure. But I think Lamar's ability to make a play when things break down kind of compensates for the fact that Dak is a better pocket passer. I mean, it's not a huge difference to me, but I would still take Lamar Jackson because I think his ceiling is higher right now than Dak's is. So I would go Lamar over Dak, but I would definitely go Dak and Lamar over Jimmy G. When Jimmy G didn't have Kittle and he didn't have Emmanuel Sanders, he was just a regular dude out there. He couldn't make his other wide receivers better, and he let Russell Wilson steal that game in San Francisco, and that's what good quarterbacks do. They steal games. So for me, I go Lamar, I go Dak, I go Jimmy G in that order.
Yeah, I agree with that too. At the moment, it's hard to pass on Lamar Jackson, what he's able to do. And I mean, he has even improved when it comes to his completion percentages this year. And then, you know, what he can do with his legs, too. And the way he has that team playing right now, he's got defensive coordinators scratching their heads right now, trying to figure out how to defend him. So I would say out of those three, I would put them exactly in the same order. Lamar Jackson, 1. Dak Prescott, 2. Jimmy Garoppolo, 3. You know, Garoppolo, you know, he had some horrible throws in that overtime. Mm-hmm. He really got away with some INTs there, too, at the end of that game, too. Mm-hmm. Seattle dropped 2 INTs on one of those drives, mm-hmm. on that drive where they tied it up to send it to overtime. And thankfully, it went to overtime because Chris Carson got me that fantasy victory over Andre. But, you know, moving right along.
One point on that.
What Lamar Jackson is doing is just flat out phenomenal right now. And like I said, he's getting it done with both, and he's winning football games too. And not that Dak is having a horrible year, but right now Lamar is just electric right now. Yeah, I would definitely put him over Dak, and then Garoppolo number 3 out of those 3.
Okay. Well, I would, you know, and that's probably right, but I mean, what I'm, you know, if you look at that game, if you watch that that game, and I was watching, you know, the throws that Dak was completing, you know, 3rd and 17, 3rd and 15, you know, 3rd and 18, and those sideline passes that he was throwing to Amari Cooper were some of the best throws I've seen this year. I mean, they were absolutely phenomenal, both the throws and the receptions. Can Lamar Jackson make those same throws? I don't think so. I think he's great with his legs, and I think for a shorter period of time, because, you know, running quarterback, with the exception of maybe a guy like Russell Wilson, you pay the price. You pay the price with, you know, he's running like a damn running back is every game, you know, and running backs don't last in this league. Now you
got
a guy that's a running.
Not necessarily. He's making some good plays.
Well, you got a guy
too,
like,
so yeah.
Well, I understand that, but he's running the football and getting hit, and he's getting hit as a quarterback too. You know, let's see how this plays out. As far as Jimmy G,
he's been protecting himself, though. Yeah, go ahead. Keep going.
Yeah, but Jimmy G, you know, he was under great you know, leadership and, you know, back behind, you know, Belichick and Brady and that whole program. So I think that's going to be his best thing is he, you know, he learned from a really, you know, really lit, good group of guys. He'll probably teach the Niners how to cheat.
Rob said it best. Jimmy G actually dodged the bullet. Seattle, there was twice on his way to try to go have a winning drive that, you know, in that moment, Jimmy G almost gave up two pick sixes. You know, and because of that, it was fitting that Seattle ended up still in that game because Seattle absolutely dropped some gifts from Jimmy G on his way to try to engineer drive that was going to win that game. And then again, in the overtime, wait a second, run out the clock. Don't go out in 36 seconds. And now give Russell Wilson a minute and 45 seconds to beat you. Clock management? What am I thinking?
Ironically?
Yes, what happened? Holy smokes, Garoppolo.
We talked about that, with that thing that Kyle made whenever the Falcons Super Bowl and how he was supposed to be aggressive, and then I think he reverted back, and then he's like, kick the field goal. And that's ironic, right? They decided to go with the field goal. As opposed to going for the jugular, and it may have bit him in the butt. So it's just one of those crazy things how that actually happened. But again, it was a great game to say the least. And you know, Russell Wilson thought the game was over with the interception. And they come back, and obviously they block the kick, and then they get another opportunity. And then it was a well played game too. But both, you know, but there were some, obviously both sides had some opportunities to make some plays too, man. So just a great game, if you will.
Phenomenal game.
We got to wrap this up. Great game. Yeah, great game to watch as well. Are we right up? I think we are right up against it, Robbie. Got about 50 seconds before we start the OT portion here. So let's go ahead and set this up because I know for a fact we're going to keep talking through it. So go ahead and set up the OT portion, Rob. We've got about 54 seconds. So
ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to another great edition with Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We apologize for Andre talking about his Falcons a whole lot, but, you know, we'll get through it.
You know what? It was coming.
Well, once again, thank you all for tuning in. Another great edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We're going to go right into our OT portion. Unfortunately, we can't give you this portion of the show live, so click on the same link on tomorrow and the rest of the week. And you'll get the rest of the show. We still got more NFL. We got college football. We got the NBA. We're still going to cover an OT portion, so you don't want to miss it. And Doc, Austin Rivers, man, you can't beg the referee to give your dad a technical foul to get him ejected.
That's hilarious.
Man, that's cold-blooded. That is cold-blooded. And it worked, too.
Yeah.
But anyway, thank you all for tuning in. We'll be back on the air live again on next Wednesday night. Next Wednesday night, it's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central. On hump day next Wednesday night, we'll be coming right back at you. Good night, people.
Yes, sir. We appreciate y'all for listening to the show and downloading the podcast. And free my man, Chase Young. He's got one more game, but they don't need him. I think the five of us can get out there and beat Rutgers by 15 on Saturday. So we won't need him for that. But, you know, definitely need him for Penn State and Michigan. So I appreciate y'all for getting back. Even think it was stupid that he got suspended to begin with, but that's neither here nor there. So maybe we can touch on that a little bit, but we'll probably definitely be talking about that in a couple of weeks when they play Penn State. We appreciate y'all for listening to the show and keep downloading and sending us your comments so we can talk about it and give you some great feedback. Good night.
And America, you're welcome because I know you didn't want to hear Rob talk about LSU all show. So again, you're welcome from me jumping on and talking about the Falcons. So you're welcome, America. That's what I do.
Hey man, I didn't want to talk about LSU near the bottom of the
two
top.
Things.
We might not even get to
that. You would have found a way to insert LSU by hook or whatever.
Man.
So just saying, it was going to happen by any means. So it's all good. And obviously it was a good win.
I'm
just saying it would have been about the whole show if that would have happened. Let's talk about this because I do want to talk about. I know there's a couple of topics we can get to. I know we want to save for the folks on the West on the East Coast. I do want to talk about a couple of things. Their topics about can the Chiefs win the Super Bowl with that defense? No. Russell Wood's performance on Monday night was fantastic.
Yeah, they can. You're right.
We'll talk about the top. We'll talk about the top five, but we'll get that too. Could the NFL be located in London? I'm going to say no to that too as well. Excited that would be, but too much logistics with that. And then
too much travel.
It's too much travel for home teams and also for visiting teams. I do want to ask you guys too. You guys can add those thoughts as well. I do want to make an interesting point, and this is something this is kind of off topic, Rob. So hopefully you appreciate this. I want to talk about load management. We hear load management being talked about a lot when it comes to players. And as a fan, do you think that's a fair thing to do? And I know it's sometimes because we always want to make sure that the athletes are in tip-top condition and all that fun stuff because they're saving them for the playoffs and little things like that, so you don't want them not to be there. But on the flip side, you hear that players are saying, or people saying that you're making millions of dollars, so take care of your bodies, whatever. So I'd like to get a quick thought about that, too, because there's a situation where, you know, obviously Kawhi, he's playing Wednesday, but he's not going to play Thursday. And you kind of heard some conflicting reports about that, too. But if you are a fan and you're saving up money and you go to the game and the guy's not there, does that affect you? I mean, do you feel like some type of way about that? Or I know this may be like a little alarm talk, but I was just thinking about that. I was like, man, that's a great thing to think about, load management. And I mean, JQ, we're going to go to a game whenever LeBron was there, but he didn't come and play. So, JQ, if you would have spent like $200 for that ticket, whatever it was, you'd have been pissed. If you find out that LeBron's not playing, right? They're not going to say, oh, LeBron's not going to play.
Hush.
It is a little pocket change. But, you know, I'm just wondering about that. How do you feel about that? I mean, if somebody's like, hey, you know, blah, blah, are you kind of on the side of, man, your athletes are getting paid all this money to play? I mean, and obviously we're not saying, you know, whatever, but I was just curious about the thought, guys. What do you think about that?
Well, here's my thoughts on it. Obviously, from a fan perspective, you know, it's not very fun, especially if you go in there and you're going to see a particular player. But I think if you're a fan of your team and your team is doing it for the betterment of the team, I think you have to have some kind of an understanding there. And when you look at it from just think of Toronto's standpoint last year, they managed Kawhi Leonard perfectly to keep him fresh and be able to have him for the playoffs, and they won a world championship. So if you were a Raptors fan last year, you had to be understanding of that situation. Hey, this is the ultimate goal, and the ultimate goal wound up helping us win the championship. And it worked in their favor. So I think if you're a fan of a team that does it, if it's for the betterment of the team, you have to understand it. But if you're from a fan and you come to, you know, the guy just coming into your stadium, he only comes into your stadium once or twice a year and he doesn't play, you can understand the disappointment there. From that perspective, and I think what they should do, I think the NBA has to come up with something, especially for the games. For example, like LeBron, he's in the West, and you only go into Atlanta once a year. You know, those kind of games, he should be playing if he's healthy. You know, and because people in Atlanta have been waiting all year for him just to see him play that one time a year in Atlanta. And so those are the games I think they got to find a way to – the guys got to play. You know, I get, you know, obviously playing against the Western Conference opponents, going to their state arenas at least twice. So if he sits one of them, is not so bad. But the ones where you're going in the other conference, you only go in there once, you got to find a way to get those stars to play in those games.
Yeah, you took exactly what I was going to say. That's what they have to do. That's exactly my argument. Because like you said, you come to Atlanta once, and then now you miss him, and now you got to get in the car and drive, 3.5 hours to Charlotte and hope that he plays in that one game when he goes to Charlotte, because outside of that, then you got a nice, healthy drive, 6-7 hours to Orlando just for that, and then what if he doesn't play in that game? You're going to be super pissed off. So, yeah, they got to find a way for those when you go in and cross conferences. I agree that you have to play those games. Once you legitimately hurt, and like you said, if you're a fan of the team, you want to win. The ultimate goal is to win a championship, right? So you understand that. But when you are a relocated fan and you don't have that opportunity to get to one of those 41 games where they're going to play in their home stadium and they're only coming to where you live now once, and that guy doesn't play, he's sitting there laughing in his suit, you know, giving everybody a different handshake and jumping up and down like, man, this ain't nothing wrong with this dude. He's sitting over here just kicking and laughing, eating popcorn and, you know, snow cones and whatnot. Like, if you don't get your ass out there and play, like, yeah, I can understand that from a fan's perspective. So yeah, they've got to find a way to mitigate that. Where, you know, if you're going on to once, you got to play, unless, you know, you find somewhere else in there in that back to back or three games in 4 nights somewhere down the line, to where you are able to rest them. But so early on in the season, to where you only going to the city one time, you got to play, bro.
Well, I've been that fan, you know, waiting for, you know, playing the Lakers up here or something, and Kobe wasn't playing because, you know, they were resting him or whatever, you know. So I've seen that, and it's frustrating. And up here, we haven't had the luxury of being that team that is that far ahead, you know, and is that confident to not only make the playoffs, but make that long run in the playoffs and being able to rest. So we haven't had that feeling up here in Portland, but teams coming in, we've seen that, you know, and it is frustrating. So I don't know how they would really manage that. They would just go from, you know, calling it one thing to saying, oh, you know, he's got a sore back or a sore ankle or a sore wrist or whatever, so we're keeping him out of the game. So, you know, there'll still be load management no matter what rules they set up. They'll just call it something different. Just like we didn't hear load management, you know, this is a newer term anyway, you know, so it's, you know, back in the 80s and, you know, in the early 90s and stuff, we never heard this term.
Popovich started this, I think, back in 2012 with those San Antonio team. Yeah, Popovich was the one that kind of got this idea out there, which is why I'm really confused that Kawhi left San Antonio. Because San Antonio is the team that, and Popovich had that kind of locked in. But I heard a story today on Colin Cowherd's show. Colin Cowherd is a little kid, and they lived 3.5 miles away from Seattle, and when Seattle had a basketball team, the one game that his family would save up for, make that trip, spend that money, was when Larry Bird and the Boston Celtics were going to come play in Seattle. That one time, that whole season, that 3.5-hour drive, that money saved, that circle on the calendar, and Larry Bird doesn't play? Holy smoke! How horrible is that for people that are struggling and you know, how a poor person, you know, that's doing that for their kid, you know, that, you know, Larry Bird was their hero, and he's only come one time in town, and you save up that money, and you strip a little bit, and you plan that out 9 months in advance, and Larry Bird doesn't play. That's hard in my stomach. And I want to take this tack. I strongly believe, and this is kind of a nuanced thing, and sometimes when I was working at Delta Airlines, I used to think the younger kids wasn't as rough and tough and had it as hard as I did when I was a younger guy. And I strongly believe that if I was 21, 19, 22, 23, and you're giving me some kind of money, I don't need any loan, anything. I'm coming out there to beat you up 365 days a year. You're giving me that kind of money, and I'm in that kind of shape like I was when I was 21. I don't need that. What I need to do is kick your butt, and I need to win these games. And that's the only thing I need to do. Yeah, I don't need to be in – I'm in shape, and I'm going to be in shape at the end of the year because I think I was that mean, and I was that guy when I was in my 20s.
And you know, lower management is for lazy people who don't want to work, kind of like Andre. You know, back in the day, Andre, Falcons or something.
Robbie, that joker didn't want to work, bro. He didn't want to work, bro. I have low management all day.
I had a choice. I had a choice to work with Rob, and a lot of times I did have some times whenever I was like, you know, Rob, if it came down to if Rob said, Rob, Andre really needed you, I would have been. He didn't have to say it like that, but a lot of times, yeah, you know, if I was chilling out about an event or something like that, I probably would have not worked. But again, only because I wanted to enjoy the weekend. But if Rob said, Dry, I really need you, I would have worked with Rob by any means necessary. So let's not do there. But again, back to load management thing really quick before we wrap this up. We can say this for another time because we can talk about this for a long time. But I would say that it is very unique because back in the day, again, there's two sides of the story. One side is, again, the fact that even back in the day, whenever the NBA, you know, the Michael Jordans and the Charles Barkleys of the world, you know, you never heard of them having load management. They were always working, and they played all their 82 games, too. So this is why it's an interesting concept of what's happening right now, too. So maybe the players are soft nowadays. I don't know. But, you know, we'll come back to this for sure. All right, for the sake of the East Coasters, JQ, I'm going to hit you all these topics, bro. You got to answer these and go from there, too. We're going to talk about a couple things. And you guys can chime in if you want. JQ, how far will the team go with LeBron and AD? Is LeBron the best point guard this season? How important is Kyle Kuzma? And then talk about Ohio State and Minnesota playing for the Big Ten Championship. You got a lot of things to talk about. So go ahead, JQ. It's your world, bro.
Well, I'll tell you like this. They got to at least make it to the Western Conference Finals because I know Rob thinks AD is a foregone conclusion to resign in L.A. But I think, you know, LeBron's trying to say all the right things. But we're running this through you. Even times he's deferring too much to me, especially in the beginning of the game, so he's unable to really get into a rhythm afterwards. But he's trying to bend over backwards to make sure AD knows that he's loved and wanted, and this is your team, and I'm just, you know, the man standing next to the man. So I think they have the talent, you know. They're playing better defense to go to the finals, but they have to make it to at least to the Western Conference Finals. I think it's going to be an L.A. show where it's going to be the Clippers versus the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals. I don't know if I really put him as a true point guard. Like, he's floating around from that point guard to point forward kind of position, but that dude is averaging 11 assists a game. And this is who he is. We always say that he's more Magic Johnson than he is Michael Jordan. And having AD on his side to be able to command those kind of double teams and pass and be able to score from anywhere on the floor is just fueling that fire. So I just think he's just being LeBron. I don't know he's not really a point guard to me, but he's doing a fantastic job facilitating. Sometimes, like I said, to the detriment of his own game, he's got to find a balance. And that happens. We're still early on in the season. He's got to find that balance of when to, you know, get everybody involved, when to look for his own shot so that he's in rhythm in the fourth quarter when everybody's going to be looking for him to, you know, to be a guy to score as well, to be able to pass. And I said it about Kuzma. Y'all all laughed at me and said, when I said I thought he could be that third wheel. And, you know, that game the other night against Phoenix, he came in and he was the closer in that fourth quarter against Phoenix. And he has that ability, especially to come off the bench this year, the way they're constructed, to be a microwave. You know, shout out to Vinny Johnson. But he can do that. He has that ability. And they need him to have that ability. He's got to be that guy for them to get to where they want to be. He's got to stay healthy, and he can be that guy to be their third wheel. He can't be their first or second, but he can be their third wheel. And as far as Ohio State and Minnesota, I worry about Minnesota. Because for all the things we talked about earlier, I mean, such a high to go in there. Like, the whole state of Minnesota is in the stadium, and you knock off Penn State, and then you go to Iowa, and then the kids start waving to you at the end of the third quarter, and, you know, that Iowa crowd gets pumped up. But Iowa can't score the ball. So I think Minnesota still could find a way to beat them, but that Minnesota-Wisconsin game could loom large for their chances moving forward. So I'm not quite yet to put them there. And then I talked about with Chase Young. That was huge for them. I honestly, as an unabashed Ohio State fan, I really thought they were in trouble if they didn't have Chase Young with that back-to-back with Penn State and Michigan. Because those teams are going – there's no overlooking Ohio State. They're ready. They're all both in the Big Ten East. They're going to be ready to give you their best shot. I don't think Penn State really was ready to give Minnesota their best shot. They took them for granted and woke up in the second quarter and said, oh, shit, we're in an absolute dogfight, and they can never overcome that. You're not going to get that when you're playing Penn State and Michigan if you're Ohio State. So I really do think they can now make it to the Big Ten Championship game. You know, you get Chase Young basically getting 2 weeks to get a breather and you're gearing him up for your two, you know, biggest games on the schedule outside of maybe Wisconsin. So I still say Ohio State, but I still have a little bit of reservation for Minnesota only because of that whole other Wisconsin deal. So we'll see.
Yeah, you talked about LeBron James, man. You know, as much as I hate the Lakers, But he is off to a phenomenal start this year. I'm
That's your boy, wow. JK.
And yeah, he's back in the MVP conversation. And I heard Colin Cowherd say this maybe a day or so ago. I don't know if there's ever been an NBA player that does so many things well on the court than LeBron James. Not saying he's the best ever, but he just checks so many boxes on a basketball court. And we saw that in a couple of finals where he led the finals in points, assists, steals, blocks, and rebounds. He just checks so many boxes, and he's having that same kind of a year, which is scary. Now that he's got Anthony Davis with him. And, I mean, you look at this Lakers team right now, to me, they look like the favorite, even with the Clippers getting Paul George back. To me, they look like the favorite to win a championship this year. If LeBron keeps playing the way he does and they can keep Anthony Davis healthy and now having Kyle Kuzma and having the role players, you know, Dwight Howard and what's that a big man name? I'm drawing a blank there for a second. Yeah, JaVale McGee, the way they're playing their roles. On this team and allowing Anthony Davis to kind of roam free and not play center. And to me, they look like the favorite to win the championship. And I don't think the Clippers are going to initially, I thought the Clippers could, but I just don't think so the way LeBron is playing. Now he's got AD and the way Kuzma is playing and they're having the role players. And but, yeah, and in the Big Ten, I think Minnesota – I think they're going to lose this weekend to Iowa. I really do. And so that's going to make things really interesting in the West. It's just going to be hard for me to pick them to go on the road and beat Iowa. So it's going to be real interesting now with that threesome now in the West, in the Big Ten now, with Iowa, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. It's going to be up for grabs. I just can't predict them to go on the road and beat Iowa this weekend. I just can't. And but Ohio State –
Go ahead.
Ohio State is clearly the favorite in the Big Ten, and they'll win the overall Big Ten championship. And I think they're going to have a tougher time with Penn State and Michigan than they will with any one of those three teams out west. So it's clearly Ohio State's conference.
Yeah, and let me clarify something. So the Minnesota, you know, Iowa game really is a swing game to what you talk about, Rob, because in Minnesota being undefeated, if they find a way to beat Iowa – then they only, you know, they could only potentially probably have one loss in the Big Ten if they lose to Wisconsin. Wisconsin and Iowa also already have multiple losses, you know, so they would go ahead and wrap up the Big Ten West. So this is a really important game for them because if they lose this game, it puts a ton of pressure on them to beat Wisconsin because if they both finish with two losses, right, Wisconsin's going to have the tiebreaker, and then they get a shot at redemption against, you know, we think Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game. So this is a really big, important game that I don't know is going to get a ton of press with Georgia playing Auburn this weekend, but that's a really big game in the Big Ten West.
Yeah, now we'll say this. If Minnesota beats Iowa, and I firmly believe this, I don't know what's going to happen, but if Minnesota beats Iowa, they should be ranked in the top four. And the reason why I say that, they should be ranked over Georgia. Georgia's got a loss. And Georgia lost to South Carolina. Georgia has two big wins this year is Notre Dame and Florida, right?
Florida.
If you look at Minnesota, Florida, they will have two big wins, too, if they beat Iowa. They'll have Penn State and Iowa, and they're undefeated without a loss. So, clearly, if Minnesota finds a way to beat, I don't think Minnesota's going to be in the top four at the end of the year. Don't get me wrong. But I think as of now, they find a way to beat Iowa. They should be ranked ahead of Georgia in the top four, no question. And in my book, they have two big wins. Georgia have two big wins. Minnesota's undefeated. Minnesota did not lose to a team in South Carolina's caliber. That's just the way I look at it.
That ain't going to happen. The SEC bias won't let it happen, and you know it.
I'm not saying no. JQ, I agree with you. I'm not saying it will.
Okay.
I'm just saying they should.
Okay. Okay.
It should happen.
Duly noted.
That's where it should be.
Duly noted. We got you.
Well, I was talking with the Lakers, L.A. Lakers super fan today, and, you know, and I was saying, you know, L.A., you know, they've made all of these moves, bringing in all of this talent. You know, man, I really don't see how they're going to possibly lose the championship. And he said to me, he says, yeah, Lakers are, you know, they're really looking good. They're going to, you know, look at LeBron. I said, oh, no, I was talking about the Clippers.
Oh!
He should have seen the look on his face. It was great.
That's a hater. That's a first-class hater. Like, no, I'm not going to sit in first class with my hate.
Second class.
Wow. I woke up this morning with a thought. Is LeBron challenging? Is he channeling Magic Johnson? And not only is he channeling Magic Johnson, he has Magic Johnson down there to tool him too. So, in some strange way, are they thinking about Showtime again? You remember LeBron James and Magic. Magic was, what, 6'9", 280? And LeBron is about that same prototype. And Magic's got 5 championships out of that, being that point guard in L.A. But he had Worthy, and he had a cast of characters with him. Now, they can almost do this. They got Anthony Davis, but, you know, there is questions about Anthony Davis' health and Anthony Davis being able to finish a season. And you got Kuzma, and you got some things around LeBron. I'm wondering, and my thought is, I'm wondering if they're channeling that old Showtime thing. And LeBron trying to fit that same role that Magic Johnson had when we had Showtime in the L.A. Forum. I just flashed on that this morning and thought, and then, you know, like I said, and then it occurred to me, you know, Magic is probably in LeBron's ear, and Magic and LeBron are probably scheming. So this may not be too far off.
Gotcha. All right, let's wrap this up here. We're going to let Rob have his little moment here, just because I just love, like, torturing him. All right, here's your topics, Rob. Do you have a problem with three SEC teams in the top 5? Are Alabama's playoff chances over? Is Joe Burrow the Heisman front runner? And then is Nick Saban ready to retire? Go.
Well, right now I don't have a problem with three teams in the top 5. But as I just mentioned, if Minnesota beats Iowa this
top 5,
then I think Minnesota should be in that conversation. And here's another one I'm going to throw at you. If Baylor beats Oklahoma, they should be up there as well. I mean, they're another team that's undefeated, and they would have beat a legitimate opponent as well. So those are two teams to watch this weekend, in my opinion. Baylor and Minnesota, if both of those teams find a way to win, I think they should be ranked ahead of Georgia and Alabama. I firmly agree.
Baylor wins?
Alabama, I'm sorry?
Yeah.
Do you think Baylor wins?
I think Baylor wins. I don't think Minnesota will.
Ooh,
I do think
Baylor
beat
Oklahoma
at home.
Okay.
Yep, I do think Baylor wins. But I don't think Minnesota will. Oklahoma defense is starting to get a little shaky right now. I mean, they give up a lot of points. And they started off the year playing pretty solid, but they're really shaky right now. You saw how they had to hold on and beat Iowa State this past weekend, 42-41. And so I like Baylor at home in that game. So I think Baylor wins, but I don't think Minnesota will. But if they do, I firmly believe, in my opinion, they both should be ranked ahead of Georgia and Alabama. Alabama doesn't have a signature win yet this season. Alabama hasn't beat the top 25 team yet this year. Maybe Texas A&M might have. They possibly was in the top 25, I think, when they beat them. I can't recall.
They were.
That's it. So they haven't had a real strong signature win yet.
But the Alabama.
They are Alabama, and that's what they're going off. So right now I don't have a problem with three of the top 5 teams being SEC. But if Minnesota and Oklahoma wins, I do think both of those teams should be ranked ahead of them at this time. Don't mean they're going to be there at the end of the year, but at this time they should be ranked ahead of them. if both of those teams win this current weekend. Next question. Joe Burrow, definitely the clearly the front runner for the Heisman after this past weekend. And obviously, to me, Tua was phenomenal. I mean, the way he gutted through that football game and finished that football game as well. And they're probably going to sit him this weekend. And but they'll still beat Mississippi State. But, yeah, Burrow is definitely he's the front runner for the Heisman Trophy. And, no, I don't think Nick Saban is ready to retire yet. I think he's still got some years ahead of him. I know he's knocking on 70, but I think he's in good shape. His mind is still sharp. And so I don't think he's ready to retire just yet at Alabama. Was there another question in there, Dre?
That was it. Those are the main ones. No, you got all of them. Good job. Yeah. I thought about we talked about Alabama playoff chance and all that fun stuff too. All right. So I guess before the lady cuts us off, I do want to let you guys have your – those are the main things I wanted to hit, and I think we'll do like this rapid – fire questions, because that way we can kind of get through a lot of the topics here, if you will, too. So I'm going to throw it out to West Coasters. Again, you guys can wrap this up, and then we can have a final one before we get to wrap up the show, because I know there's some college football predictions that we can talk about. Some great games. We have, obviously, Navy at Notre Dame. We've got number 4 Georgia at Auburn. That's a big game again. And then we talked about Minnesota, Iowa, and obviously what Robert's talking about, Oklahoma at Baylor. So you guys can comment on that. Or you guys can talk about the next game here that we can talk about. Either you guys will talk about the Cowboys and whatnot, too. So that's kind of for you guys, West Coasters. And then we'll get ready, you guys, and comment, Rob and Jake Kidman, to wrap up the show. So, West Coasters, your call on that.
Okay, well, I want to talk about the Cowboy offensive line. What I've seen with the Cowboy offensive line in this last game is with the pass protection, they were absolutely phenomenal. But in the running game, the whole game, man, they just did not know what the hell they were doing in this particular game. And so I give a lot of credit to that, you know, that defensive front 7 that, you know, just really punched them in the mouth. They smacked them down. And they smacked Zeke up. They beat him up. Pass protection was phenomenal. In the run game, it was absolutely horrible.
I'm going to go with, my heart is sunken. And we have a guest with us in our little studio here at Gary's house. And he's a big fan. We just watched Toronto beat Portland to pieces. And this is, we're commemorating Portland Trailblazers' 50th season. And right now, in Portland, the sky is falling with our Trailblazer team. And this is almost my Atlanta analogy. I thought Atlanta could win that division they're in. And then halfway through the season, I don't think they can. I thought Portland would be a lot better than they are now. And it's scary. And Damian is having a great, great, great start of the season. And the cast of characters can't go with him. And it is really disturbing.
Yeah, so for mine, I wanted to touch on the football games. That Navy Notre Dame game, I really, really, really want to choose Navy, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think Notre Dame is still a fraud, but I think they find a way to win that game against Navy. But it's going to be a lot closer, like Lee says, closer than the experts think. I think Notre Dame wins that game. Georgia and Auburn, living here in SEC country and in Georgia country, I really think Auburn is going to win that game. I look at Georgia, and I look at, and they just have not put it together for 4 quarters consistently. They have the talent, but for whatever reason, I think Jake Fromm has regressed a little bit. And that Auburn, we talked about it all year. They have a really good front 7, and I think that if you can get in Fromm's face and kind of – now, you can't stop Swift, but if you can kind of neutralize him a little bit where you can keep him from breaking out those big plays – and you just don't have Bo Nix do nothing stupid, you know, playing on the plains in Auburn, I think they find a way to win a really close game. and they go ahead and knock Georgia out of this conversation. We don't have to worry about them no more. I think me and Rob differ on these other two. I think Minnesota, Iowa just struggles. Like they struggle to score the ball. You look at all their games, they're all 10-7, 13-10. I mean, they are ugly, nasty. I only watch this game if no other game was on kind of TV. And that's why they have a hard time getting traction, you know, nationwide. Because it's hard. It's horrible offensive football to watch when you're watching the Iowa game. It's just really bad. I think Minnesota finds a way.
Some of the,
you know,
Big Ten football games are like watching paint dry, man.
Hey, some of those SEC games is like watching paint dry, too. You know, don't talk about Arkansas and these sorry asses. So, anyway, Vanderbilt. So, you got some bad teams in all conferences, but I think Minnesota finds a way. And then, lastly, Jalen Hurts, if not now, win, bro. Like, you got away with one, I would say. I mean, you absolutely got away with one. He was the front runner early in the season. We aren't even talking about him right now. He's got a chance against number 13 Baylor to take day zero away from him. If not now, win, and to reassert Oklahoma into the national conversation, I'm going to take Oklahoma.
Yeah, really interesting weekend in college football. Even though I think Iowa's going to win that game, I'm actually pulling for Minnesota because I think it just makes things a lot more interesting from a national landscape. And even makes the Big Ten more interesting, too, you know, especially if you can have an undefeated Minnesota against undefeated Ohio State. I don't think that's going to happen, but I think it would make things a lot more interesting. So I'm definitely pulling for Minnesota and pulling for Baylor, too. I think it just makes the whole landscape a lot more interesting as well. Because my thing is, if you're going to put Clemson in the top five as an undefeated team and they haven't beat anybody, why Minnesota and Baylor is not in that conversation? I know Clemson's got the track record to show for it. But if you're going to put them up there over Alabama and over Georgia, and why not Minnesota, Baylor, if both of them come out with victories this weekend? But, you know, we'll wait and see on that one. I like Notre Dame over Navy, and I'm with you on the Auburn-Georgia game. I like Auburn in this game. And I tell you, out of all the teams I've seen LSU play this year, Auburn had the best defense. Now, I think LSU left some points on the field in that game. I think they should have scored more points, but I think overall Auburn has the best defense that I've seen LSU face this year. And offensively, Auburn's got to get by with a lot of trickeration. And, you know, that's not going to go too far against Georgia, but I think this game is going to be low scoring. I think Auburn wins 23-17 and find a way to win at home in that football game as well. I'm going to do the fantasy shout-outs really quick. And then, Andre, you can decide what we're going to do from there. So we're going to do the fantasy shout-outs for the week.
Yeah.
League number one, Will from Madison, Wisconsin, Gurley and Cumps beat Eagles Chicks for Life, 129.24 to 93.98 with the biggest win of the week. And Lions King, Casey from Atlanta, has the biggest has the best record in that league with a 9-1 record. League number two, Sean from Atlanta, his team, the Black and Gold Patrol, beat the Pellies 128.84 to Pellies 75.50. Kid Kev 23, that's Kevin from New Orleans. His team's got the best record with an 8-2 record. League number three, Pelican Fly, that's Rick from Austin. His team had the biggest win of the week, 188.36 to Unger's Crew 92.42. And Pelicans Fly, his team's also in first place with an 8-2 record. League number four, Marcy from Atlanta, her team had the biggest win of the week. Baby Got Backfield, 117.
Yeah.
The Birds South, 87.74. And my team is in first place in that league. We the best with a 7-3 record. And last but not least, our fantasy basketball league. Rick from Austin, his team had one of the biggest weeks. Anthony Davis, the new number 23, had a 6-3 victory over Blue Devil All-Stars. And Paul from Atlanta, his team also had a 6-3 win, Madhouse on Madison, over the Heart High Five, 6-3. And Ronald from New Orleans, his team, Saints Pelicans, 23-19-8 record in first place in the league.
Me too.
Those are your fantasy shout-outs for the week.
I got the same record. I got me too. I got the same record. And you know what's crazy in that fantasy league number three? I am 7-3, and I am in sixth place because the two dudes in my division are both 8-2, and one is the first place, and the other is the fifth place. Like, that's crazy. I looked at that today like, come on, buddy. How does that even happen? So, fantasy basketball and football is just crazy. Look forward to y'all keep competing. It's been real. Hopefully, we keep it moving.
Good job.
Absolutely.
Hey, man, again, let's wrap up the show, man. Again, it's been a great show. We talked a lot, so, too. Let's get us in bed for us West Coast, East Coasters, if you will, too. So go ahead and wrap it up, Brian. Unless you guys have any, I think we've kind of covered a lot of stuff, so it's been a great week. So go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for tuning in to another great edition. We're talking sports from the 12th man. We thank you from our listeners from the West to the East and all over the world. Thank you all for tuning in. Continue to tune in. We'll be back on air live next week on Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. in Hawaii. Good night, people.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything you just said. And Nas, you got to get on the call, bro. How you don't call in when the Falcons beat the Saints? I'm disappointed. When I talk to you next time, I'm going to tell you. So, hey, we appreciate him and everybody else that leaves us messages and calls in and tells us what they think about what we like and what they dislike. We can't do it without you guys. We love you, and we holler at you next Wednesday.
That dude don't want to brace his breath on the 2-17. Come on.
No.
That is unbelievable.
See?
That is not even nowhere close to the truth at all. At all. All right.
Dude don't
want to waste
his breath.
He's
sitting at home saying, damn, this joke was, we didn't mess up getting Chase Young now.
that's talking a lot of junk. That's actually a pretty true statement, too. I don't know. That's why it's like
that's a very true statement.
Have some. Are we happy? Are we mad? You know, I don't know what's happening here. It's crazy. Anyway, I'm going to let you have this moment, Rob, only because of the fact that LSU won. I'm gonna, you know, that's one reason why.
Well, I had to come back
anyway.
With something, man. You know, you gave me a hard time during the show. I had to come back with a little something. Right?
Too bad it wasn't live, and that's all that matters, man. That's the only thing that happens. But, again, all right, so the end of the next time. It's all good. Gentlemen, have a great week. We'll talk about what happens tomorrow night. Hey, Curtis and Gary, we appreciate you guys as always adding your great thoughts, man. Like I said, hopefully we'll get a chance to see you guys. I'll be in Portland hopefully sometime, if not the end of the year, next year, and we'll definitely make a fun visit for all you guys, man. So have fun, man.
Absolutely, make sure you give our contact information to your family member up here. She can join us on the podcast in Portland.
Yeah.
She's a little shocked.
Yeah, well, you don't have to say anything. We'll coax her along, you know.
Well, I'm sure she's not happy about, the basketball situation here either.
She said walk.
But yeah, tomorrow.
Hey, Gary, I'm overdue for one of them Huckleberry shakes from up there, Doc.
Hey, yeah, you got that right.
But yeah, tomorrow you guys, here we go. Thursday night football. Here we go. Enjoy
it's
it.
On. It's on. She last thing, guys. She said because she's crazy. She's like walk of shame. Whenever she's like, what's the chances of the Blazers beating the Raptors? I was like, it should be pretty good. But then because she always talks about if they lose, it's like walk of shame because everyone's like hanging out at the Portland Stadium. And then I guess they end up like losing. So she was cracking me up, man. So anyway, she's a fan. I love it. But anyway, guys, have a great rest of your day. JQ. Again, we'll talk, man. We're going to hit up Rob if Cleveland pulls us off, man. So we're just going to pepper with all these messages. So, good day.
Hey, it's going to be like that week when I picked the Colts over the Texans. I was the only one who took the Colts, but now the Colts falling apart look like now.
You better keep that 1-1. All right, guys, have a great rest of your week, man. We'll talk soon.
Good night.
You good night.
All right,